Hello, friends. Welcome to worship today here at St. Stephen's United Church. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We really are delighted that you can join us today. Would you join me in the call to worship for today? Come and praise God. In the company of God's people, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Great are the works of God, full of glory and majesty. Our God is gracious and compassionate. Our God is merciful and forgiving. Our God is faithful and trustworthy. Our God is just and good. So come, let's worship God together. God's praise will last forever. And let's come to the altar. Let's light the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus gave everything to save the lost and bring us to eternal life. Let's light the Christ candle. Let's pray together. We praise you, O God, for the meaning that you give to our lives in and through Jesus. He is the sign of your deep and everlasting love for the world, and we rejoice in his promise to sustain us with his life. We praise you for filling our emptiness with his goodness. May our worship and praise express our thanks, O God, for your gift to us of the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, your Son, our living Lord. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we confess the sins which we have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty. We repent of our misdoings. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is great. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful one, for Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen.
Friends, the Lord has indeed done great things for us. As we read in Philippians, our righteousness is one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. The good news, therefore, is that in Jesus Christ, we are accepted, we are loved, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, everybody. The reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 6, and we're going to do a recap of verse 35, and then we're going to cover verses 41 to 51. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. The word of the Lord.
Well, here we are again, continuing to make our way through John chapter 6, and this extended retelling of a conversation Jesus had with some people who were chasing him around Galilee. As we've heard, he made an audacious claim to them. He said, I am the bread of life. Our reading last week ended with that claim, and interestingly, today we pick up with it again. And the fact that the lectionary developers chose to repeat our coverage of that verse in today's reading, after we'd already heard it last week, that's our first clue about how important it is. Then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Last week, we spent some time thinking about what it might mean that Jesus is the bread of life, about what promises are inherent in that claim, and that through him, all of our deepest hungers are realized and satisfied. Well, today I'm hoping that we might benefit from some exploration of what Jesus said that we need to do in order for us to receive those promises. He clearly says here and throughout this whole conversation that in order to never thirst or hunger again, we need simply to come to him and to believe in him. But what does that really mean? How do we do those things? And how does doing them satisfy our hunger and bring us that promised life that is so real and, yes, everlasting? Exploring these questions is our task for today. So let's get at it. Let's start with this idea of believing in him. What does that mean, and what is he asking of us? In the rest of today's reading, we've heard that a major portion of those people had a huge objection to what Jesus was saying. They reacted strongly to his statement that he had come down from heaven. They grumbled and they wondered how he could dare to say such a thing. Now remember, they were quite open to the idea that he might have been the Messiah, the person God had promised to send to rescue them. But therein lay the issue. They expected the Messiah to be a person, probably another man, perhaps a king, like King David had been, or maybe a prophet or a leader like Moses. These were the great heroes from Israel's history, men who had been called by God to lead them and to rescue them from their oppressors. And all Israel at this point had been waiting hundreds of years for another man like that to come along. The problem was that they never expected the Messiah to be more than just a man, let alone someone who had come from heaven. But here Jesus was clearly saying that he had come from heaven, that he had been sent by God himself, the God who here he is referring to as God the Father. Every detail of that claim would have been scandalous for those people. Well, I'm actually quite prepared to argue that there are still many people who consider this to be a scandalous statement. Maybe some are even among our number worshiping together with us here today. I know that for a good portion of my life, I certainly was in that camp. I had no problem accepting that Jesus was an absolutely incredible man, a wise, inspired man who showed us through his life what goodness and love really look like. And I actually still think all of that is true, but it is not all that is true of Jesus. Because as he said here, he is also the Son of God, the Son who is sent by God the Father from heaven to us. So when Jesus calls us to believe in him, this is the heart of what he's asking us to believe. Not just that he was an incredible human, which he was entirely and fully, but also that somehow, in some incredible way beyond our comprehending, he is also the Son of God, who is fully divine, God himself. Fully human and fully divine. These two aspects of Jesus' nature are essential to the heart of our belief in him. Fortunately, Jesus does not ask us to understand how that works, those two things being together in him. That would be beyond any of us. But he does ask us to trust that it is true, and so to believe him in this. When I was working with our youth here at St. Stephen's, each year, some of our young people would graduate from high school. And as happens in Qualicum Beach, many of them would move on away from here to pursue the next steps in their lives. Before they left, I always felt some sense of responsibility to guide them on what to look for in a church, should they ever find themselves looking for one. At the risk of putting my ordination in jeopardy, I confess that I did not tell them they needed to find a United Church, but I did urge them, when they were checking out churches, to listen for one essential thing: that the leadership believed and taught that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, fully God, and somehow also fully a man. I share that by way of offering a word to the people who are officially joining our congregation today. At our in-person services today, we will be welcoming a number of people as new members to St. Stephen's, and delightedly doing so. But you all need to know that as long as I am teaching from this pulpit, this is what you're going to hear taught here: that Jesus is fully divine, fully God, and somehow also fully human. I think it is only fair for me to let you know that as you join us in worship and in our life here together, truth and advertising and all that. So that's the believing in him part. But what about the part where he says that we need to come to him? Can I suggest to you that we could also say that we need to follow him? And we would mean virtually the same thing. Remember, those were the words that Jesus used when he invited his first 12 disciples to join with him. I think when Jesus says we need to come to him, he means come and see and follow. Or perhaps come and follow and see. Because in my own experience, and in the experiences of many of the people that I have been privileged to pastor over these last 15 years, that is often what happens. As we come, we begin to follow along with Jesus, and we do get to see the ways in which Jesus does satisfy our hunger and our thirst, not just for physical food and drink, but for so much more. For all of the things that make this thing we call life rich and good, and yes, in Jesus' own words, abundant. Remember that the manna that God gave to the Israelites during the Exodus and their time in the wilderness, the manna these crowds who had been following Jesus were actually looking for more of, that manna was just a taste, a forerunner of so much more. And as we hear and answer Jesus' invitation to come to him, we do begin to be able to see how much more there is to this life than just bread and water basics. As we follow Jesus, we begin to experience things that give us tastes of the fruits of this very good life that God wants to give us. We get a taste of real joy, real peace, real hope, and most significantly, I think, real grace and real love. Maybe to begin with, these are just brief moments, moments when we get a little glimpse of heaven here on earth, like, say, something that happened here in worship a couple of weeks ago, when a small child was baptized and in their delight wanted to dive into the waters in the baptismal font. The whole congregation erupted in joy. It was a taste. And little tastes like that are truly wonderful. They're so real and so true. And yes, so holy. And it's tastes like that that spur us on to continue to follow Jesus. Because we discover that as we follow him, we get to experience more of these things. More joy, more peace, more strength and comfort, especially in the midst of life's greatest challenges. More love. And so we find that Jesus speaks true when he promises us that whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. More and more we find that this is increasingly true as life gets fuller and deeper and richer as we go with him. Just before I finish, one final note. I don't actually believe that the order in these two things matters. I don't think you have to do one before the other, whether that is to believe in him or to come to him. Some people begin with belief. They just have a sense, whether it's something they've always known or something they've just become convinced of along the way. They believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. And so they come and follow him. Other people come to Jesus and begin to follow him first. And then somewhere along the way, their belief comes. That seems to be the way it worked for Jesus' first disciples. He invited them to come and follow. And as they went, their belief came. If you read on to the end of this chapter, you'll hear Peter profess this belief on their behalf. All of these people who had been chasing Jesus around Galilee, they started to object to these things he was saying and object strongly, so they started to abandon him. Well, Jesus turns to his 12 disciples and asks if they're going to leave him too. And Peter's answer is a beautiful, honest expression of belief, even in the midst of challenge. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Somewhere in their following, his disciples had come to believe. They'd found life, life with him. Well, this is the promise of Jesus to us. Life, real life, the life we all hunger for, the life that can be found as we follow Jesus and believe in him. On their own, neither following nor believing will be enough. It's only as we remain open to both that we're able to discover this life that Jesus came and lived, died, and yes, was resurrected, praise be to God, to bring us to this life God has for us. Amen. He's given Jesus.
Oh, to start? Oh, okay. Good morning. Holy One, Shepherd to us all, call us together now in body, mind, and spirit. Let us be in this moment joined in prayer so we may amplify with one voice our hope in you. Our hope in your creation, our hope in your peacemaking, our hope in your grace. Please join me in prayers of the people in response of prayer. When I petition, God, hear our prayer, our response is, and in your love, answer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for the faithful all over the world, that all who love you may be united in your service. We pray for the churches of the world, in our community, our country, our home here at St. Stephen's, and also our church family at Kamloops United as they come to terms with the fire yesterday, and we are grateful it was extinguished quickly. God, hear our prayers, and in your love, answer. We pray for the peoples and leaders of the nations, that they may be reconciled one to another in pursuit of your justice and peace. We pray for the ongoing wars that are happening in our world. God, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. We pray for all those in need, near or far, that they may know the hope of your faithfulness through the help of others. We pray especially for those who seek help from the ministries offered here at St. Stephen's. God, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. We pray for all those suffering the pain of emotional and physical illness, of fear, of loss, for those whose names are on our hearts, in the hearts of others, or known to just you alone. May they receive strength and courage. God, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. God of compassion, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy now and forever. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again, St. Stephen's, for the ways in which you give to God's purposes here in this church. Would you pray with me over the gifts that were given this week? Lord, you are the bread of heaven, giving life to the world. You fill our emptiness with your goodness. You come to our weakness with your strength. Take and use these gifts to bring in a rich harvest of your heavenly food and life-giving refreshment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, if you have found some of the good bread of Christ here today, then don't hesitate to share it with others. For this is the bread that increases the more it is given away, the bread that nourishes us best in the presence of goodwill, joy, and love. As you go today, may the blessings of the God of life, the Christ of love, and the Spirit of grace be upon you this day and always. Amen.
Jesus and his glory, of Jesus. and see.